Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi, this is Sean Sutner, news and features writer for Search Health IT.
And I'm Kristen Lee, news writer for Search Health IT.
We're the Hit Squad, and today we're going to talk about some of the trending topics on Search Health IT and preview an upcoming issue of our quarterly Health IT e-zine, Pulse, which is scheduled to come out next month.
So, Sean, you recently researched and wrote a story for our e-zine Pulse about security of mobile devices and healthcare provider organizations, and found out that smartphones and tablets really aren't that secure at all. Why is that?
Well, one big reason for mobile insecurity is the insecurity of mobile apps themselves. According to a recent study by the Ponemon Institute, privacy think tank. So this study was sponsored by IBM, which is big in the mobile security space, including healthcare. And a lot of healthcare respondents responded to this study. And it found that most mobile apps are being developed with no thought to security at all, and little, if any, security testing. So to counter this, some healthcare providers are testing the mobile apps themselves. They're providing internal app stores with approved apps to their users and using technologies such as encrypted containerization to wall off apps from the user's own apps on their BYOD mobile devices, mainly smartphones and tablets. So Kristen, in your news analysis for Pulse, you talked to some experts about mobile security in health IT settings, and the mood appears grim. So what else did you learn?
Well, yes, the mood is very grim. It kind of ranges from healthcare IT professionals being cautious in adopting mobile devices, and then there are IT professionals who are just downright terrified. But despite this sort of range of feelings surrounding mobile devices, the consensus is basically that the adoption of mobile devices within the healthcare organization is inevitable. And so a lot of healthcare IT professionals have kind of just accepted that. But another interesting thing was that, yes, the adoption of mobile is scary, but it really isn't anything new. Basically, before mobile devices, there's always been some sort of threat. You know, it's not because of mobile devices that people are getting breached. Other things within their organization are also proving to be security threats. So,
and there were laptops, of course, before smartphones, and those were mobile in a sense.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, that feeling of being really scared about breaches has always been there. Mobile devices are just another thing that will be on their mind. It's just added to the list of things. Yeah. So, Sean, what about wearable health technology? Wearables are increasingly being used not only to track consumer fitness, but also for more medical issues. So what are some of those use cases, and what are some of the privacy implications?
Well, I've been looking at this, reporting on this issue quite a bit lately, and it's funny you should mention the entry of mobile, you know, devices just being an evolution. And the AMA, American Medical Association, just came out today with a report from their annual meeting that they reported that the FDA says that some 500 million smartphone users worldwide will be using a mobile medical app this year, so rising to 1.7 billion smartphone and tablet users by 2018. So health mobile apps are huge, and wearable health devices are really gaining popularity. And so these come in FDA Class 2 approved connected devices, such as, you know, infusion pumps, okay? Also, stuff for being used for population health, like measuring glucose levels in diabetes patients, tracking heart rate and blood pressure for congestive heart failure patients, and respiratory levels and exercise activity for people with chronic pulmonary obstructive disease. Three big chronic illnesses that are integral to population health. Also, meanwhile, on the consumer side, you know, Apple Health was released last year, and it joined Microsoft Vault and Samsung S and any number of other, you know, wellness platforms, you know, Fitbit, Android Wear, Jawbone Up. But Apple, the Apple Watch, I'll talk more about that later, which came out really spurred all this. Apple has a deal with Epic to do to deliver wellness data into Epic MyCharts. Cerner Millennium has a module for connected medical devices. The big issue, though, a growing worry with these devices is security. You know, just like smartphones and tablets, you have data leakage from also Internet of Things connected devices, and also the other questions are privacy and security about who's using all this wellness metadata, and for what purpose, and what can users do to control the use of their data. And meanwhile, I'm learning how to use my new Apple Watch, and I'll report back about that in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah. You just got that, right?
I did. And it's healthy, and it's fun.
That's great.
Yeah. It's really fun. If you can swing it, try it, or any smartwatch. So meanwhile, Kristen, we cover telemedicine here at Search Health IT, and we've seen more and more states put telemedicine sort of on an equal footing with regular doctor's visits in terms of Medicare reimbursement, federal reimbursement, but one big state is going in the other direction. So what's going on there?
Yes. So I think there's really no doubt that telemedicine is going to play a huge role. The implications for it are things you just can't ignore, but it seems that Texas is a little bit timid to really accept it. In fact, just recently, lawmakers in Texas, the Texas Medical Board, released new rules that it doesn't outright restrict telemedicine, but it just makes it a lot harder to prescribe drugs remotely to patients and have those patients be able to receive it if you're in Texas. They do have certain exceptions. So, for example, if you're a patient and you can go to a medical clinic or have a healthcare worker kind of examine you and do that almost as a surrogate examination for your doctor. That is one instance where Texas says, you know, it is okay to then prescribe drugs. But there has been kind of an ongoing battle with a Dallas-based telemedicine provider, Teladoc. They're pretty huge. They have hundreds of employers that offer their services to more than 2 million employees, but they've been battling with the Texas Medical Board to be able to offer their services. And it seems that the main issue that the board has with telemedicine is just that they don't think it's good enough to just have a patient tell you, you know, via their mobile phone or a video chat that, you know, this is bothering me or that is bothering me, and then have the doctor prescribe you. They want the doctor or someone to be there to actually do an examination. So that's what they're saying is the reason that they feel uncomfortable. They say that they feel uncomfortable because they want to make sure that there's patient safety. But there's an attorney, Renee Quashi, who says that Texas really should consider telemedicine, especially given sort of their population. Apparently there are 200 counties in Texas that are considered medically underserved, and more than a dozen counties that just have one primary care doctor. So his argument is that, you know, given this, telemedicine could really make a difference. And Texas is at the bottom of the list of states within the United States that have accepting policies of telemedicine. So they're really not sort of following the crowd right now.
Right, and it's a big state, so right. It's important what goes on there. So thanks for listening, and check back soon for another audio episode of Search Health IT's Hit Squad.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.